what rear window that trombone shot, though?
It's Flicks in That with Steve Newell.
Are you shooting out a movie-related text? Are all your texts movie-related?
Let's have a look.
Do you find yourself quoting movies to people to, like, make a point or, you know, to punctuate a sentence?
Well, to the first question, no, my recent texts are not movie-related. one sample text is, "Hey, hey, I'm out of town, but looking forward to my blood pressure increase tonight." That one's Warriors-related.
Hey!
Go, you Warriors!
Come on, New Zealand.
Sorry, from Saturday.
Come on and play.
Yep, no, not too much. Not too many movie related texts.
She was at the Warriors for ages, that lady, man. I didn't know what the reference was. There was a lady at the Warriors that used to be like, "Warriors, come out and play!" And I hadn't seen that movie, that Staten Island. Is that what it is? What's the name of it? It's called Warriors.
It's called Warriors, right? Warriors, yep. Was she clinking her bottles together?
Yep, 100%. And just shrill, like fucking inconsistent. Like I used to go to a few Warriors games back in the day, back when we thought maybe they could do something. Yeah, I sort of petered off, like most Warriors fans.
Look.
Don't watch the Warriors.
What is this, a sports segment?
Fuck, I wish.
Do you have a favourite movie quote, Steve, that you like to use every once in a while?
Oh, I'm not really a quoter, to be
not
honest.
Not on air?
Is that it? From what? What was that from? It's probably in a movie.
Quota, maybe like a fishing movie? I don't know.
Sorry to finger gun you then.
I mean, there is the odd Freddy Got Fingered quote that pops out from time to time. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. Well, look, we are here to talk about sport because there is a documentary opening tomorrow called Girls Can't Surf and Surfing is a Sport. So I've just tied that all together. This would have been probably quite a good segment to come straight out of a surf report into. Mm-hmm. But look, we're here now. That's okay then. That's good.
Sorry, Steve, you said in cinemas?
In cinemas from tomorrow, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And now this is a doc, you can probably guess what the subject matter is from the title. It's either going to be a documentary about how girls can't surf, or B, a documentary about how girls can surf.
That will fly.
It's definitely the latter of those two. It is the story of the first and second generations of professional women surfers. So it takes place in this period from the late 70s and predominantly through the 80s and early 90s. And they just kind of get together this first wave of women who started surfing, and competitive surfing wasn't a thing that had been around for ages, but when a men's competition started, a women's competition started alongside it, but it was unsurprisingly treated really shoddily. Not much prize money, bad attitudes, common attitudes like, oh, the best guy off any beach could beat any of the women surfing. It's tennis all over again. The best things about the film are just these personal stories of the woman who, faced these challenges and just kept on doing what they did really well, and some of the things they did to overcome them. Just weird stuff going on, like there's not enough prize money to give equal prize money to men and women in the sports. The women get heaps less because sponsors, etc. Give us more exposure. Oh, we can't give you more publicity, and you might need to lose a bit of weight. it's quite messed up. But through it all, these women are just carving out good surfing, and there's a lot of just. It's a great 80s time capsule. I think like those bad attitudes are part of what is a pretty great 80s time capsule. A lot of it's in Aussie, of course. So. Mm. There's a lot of Aussie beach action, which is quite entertaining.
Imagine the bullshit that female bodybuilders would have got. Ooh, that's a double down. That is a double down. That would be terrible.
One of the things that they talk about is how, just in this light, they show a lot of surfing mags from that era and
covers.
Yeah, covers and kind of big features.
Oh man, I remember surfing mags from back in the day, and it was just the chicks were just there to be the chicks kind of thing. It was just like bikini up, side shot, butt kind of thing.
Yeah, and through this sort of early phase of the sport becoming commercialized, it was probably less the case. Like they were still selling like sunnies using bikini clad women, but there wasn't sort of the same, selling swimwear or surf brands with women. It was just not much in there at all. And then occasionally, every couple of years, that we're told they'd do like a, oh, that's right, it's time to do the Girls of Surfing story, and they'd get everyone together for a feature. In the in the less successful parts of this film, it feels a little bit like that, because they are covering probably a little bit too extensive a time period for this to be a really cohesive doco. Mm. Runs at about an hour 45, so
it's a good soundtrack.
Could have. The soundtrack is good. Nothing has jumped out for me to say, "Oi, play this."
Mad Barrels.
Some pretty great barrels. Mm. Some pretty great barrels.
Good on the big screen.
But I think, I watched it on a projector, so it was good on the big screen. This is a cautious recommendation. It's an interesting watch. I think if any of those sort of topics are resonating, it's worth checking out.
If you're a surfer,
it's always. But I think the film kind of does what it criticizes those magazine stories for doing, which is sort of putting everyone together and maybe trying to do too much. And really, I would have been really fascinated to find out more about the details of the difficulties in the 80s with how the politics of the surfing world worked. Just have the individuals tell their stories a bit more than they do. Although it is great to have these women sitting down in the 2020s sometime and talking about their surfing heyday. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always interesting to see or reflect back on how attitudes have changed.
Yeah, like a bro scene for sure. Like I'm not even a surfer, but I've been out on the water and surfers are there, and it's like, yo, you're not meant to be here. So I can imagine it's
totally
10 times worse if you're a chick.
Totally, and as we learn in this film, the aggression on the water that is for our entertainment in films like Point Break is shout out Anthony Kiedis
War Child. I think his name's War Child.
His name is War Child. Back off. That aggression was directed to like young women in the water, which was kind of messed up.
Oh, my goodness.
And
was Flea in that movie as well?
Wait, hang on. Let's just
back off, War Child. Seriously.
Good. That's I'm. You looked that up really quickly.
Swayze.
That's very impressive. Anyway, that's Girls Can't Surf.
Okay.
What else? What else is on screens?
I've just started watching a show called Them. This is Amazon Prime's new horror series. It's a seasonal anthology, so it's in the same sort of vein. Think American Horror Story. So it's like it's going to be a season spent on one story, and then the next season will be something else. This one follows a black family in the 1950s who relocates, part of the big migration out of the southern states, into the suburbs of Los Angeles. Mm-mm. And there is, there are a lot of white people in their street, aka 100% of the rest of the street. A lot of hostility from outside, and there's also going to be some spooky shit inside their house. So forces from within and without. First episode was a bit of a tease, setting things up. Like with a lot of streamers, man, they've got a lot of money to spend on music.
Wait, it's got
like
racist...
It's cranking Isaac Hayes. It's cranking non-time-specific music, but just burning cash as it does so. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Is there racist ghosts?
I think that's one of the directions this is going.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
John's like, how does that play out? What is it?
Oof, man. A ghost in general is tough enough, let alone a racist ghost. Damn
racist
it.
Ghost. Yeah. Well, I guess split, the sheet works both ways, doesn't it?
Mm. Wow. Mm. Powerful.
Next week we're going to talk about Pop Stars, which returns to our screens. The New Zealand pioneering reality TV.
How many years does the season last for?
By the last one, quite a lot.
How many years between Pop Star seasons?
God, like, that'll be like, hang on, I was working at ECM St. Luke's and I was selling
carry the four
CDs, so it's carry the divide by 38 years.
Are any of the True Bliss up on the panel? I know Kimbra's in there. Who else is sort of adjudicated?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm going to find out, and we should all find out together on Monday, collectively take a deep breath and watch what happens. We can talk about it.
I'm glad Kimbra's up in there.
Next week.
I think she's massively underappreciated from a New Zealand standpoint.
Probably correct.
Hmm.
Probably correct. Anyhow, look, you were talking about something off here, John, that you've been watching.
A friend recommended the Formula One documentary Drive to Survive, which is on Netflix, and I'd given it a crack once and tapped out, but I persevered, tried again, and I'm well invested. It's bloody good.
Netflix. It's always there.
Yeah, it is. It is.
You didn't ask, but I've been watching 7 hours of Unsolved Mysteries on YouTube. Just falling asleep to it. A lot of crazy Unsolved Mysteries.
Lots of Nessie in there?
A lot of Nessie type things. A lot of mythical things. I'm actually thinking about starting a segment in which I just take one thing, because there's about 200 different Unsolved Mysteries that this cat covers off. And it's so mint. Love it. I love it so much.
Because you're falling asleep, do they remain unsolved?
A little bit. One? They all are. He's just like, well, look, this is what people say. And a lot of it's just like mythical stuff. And it's, you know, a lot of it's nature related probably, but they didn't have the science back then. It's very, very mint.
Favorite unsolved mystery in the 7 hours of Unsolved Mysteries that you've...
Oh, Jesus Christ, John. You've really put me on the spot here. Will the Unsolved Mystery thing actually ever really end? It's probably the strongest one. It's 7 hours. It impresses me how long YouTube videos can be. Right? It's really powerful. Also, I started watching the Justice League, which is actually really, really good. I love the long shots and stuff.
I was going to do that over Easter, and it just kind of fell down the list. But
I was impressed. I always go into those like,
I'm going to do it.
If you like it, if you want,
I'm gonna do it.
If you want a little bit more,
okay, I'm gonna do it.
If you want a little bit more in between,
okay, Zack Snyder, I'm gonna watch your movie.
You know, in between, like the
am
explosions.
Am I gonna watch the grey one or the colour one? I can't decide.
I think I was watching the colour one, but it's just.
I think I was watching the colour one. Well, Zack Snyder, if you're listening, that's probably a fair comment.
Alrighty, thank you very much, Steve.
Bye bye.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That. On 95BFM.